Greetings. Welcome to Average Joe's Fantasy. I'm your host, Steve Nordyke, and we are in a post-Week 8 summary mode. Now, I hope everybody had a good holiday. Halloween was last night. Hope everybody made some trades during the week, and I hope we are ready to rock and roll in Week 9 here coming up, starting tonight, really. Let me give you a little rundown of my last week, just so you know that I'm doing all right. I was 10-1 last week. The week before, I think I was 8-3, so we're starting to turn things around. All my teams are still competitive and still in it. My worst record is 3-5, which is not great, but it's still alive. Let's see the Average Joe's League. Where are we at here? We're 3-5 in the Average Joe's League. Imagine that. Yeah, we're not doing so hot. But I have won 2 in a row, so we are starting to turn it around. The Puma is 7-1. So whatever he's doing it pretty well. He is tied for first. Well, actually, he's in second place because of the points. But a lot of teams are 3-5 and 4-4. So I am 3-5, but I'm in fifth, one spot out of the playoffs. So I can't really complain. My team's been pretty crappy. Can't really complain, though. Well, let's jump right on in here. Any questions, email me, avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. And let's get some questions, get some comments. Hopefully not too much profanity. Hopefully if you traded for Dalvin Cook, you give up very little. Or traded for Le'Veon Bell, you give up very little because those guys are punching us right in the face. Let's start right off with the good, the bad, the ugly. The good last week, Jared Goff was pretty good. Deshaun Watson was really good. And I think that's really it for quarterbacks. I don't think I have anybody else. Those guys rocked it. And Deshaun Watson was pretty amazing. As far as receivers go, both Minnesota receivers were really good. We got Tyler Boyd in Cincinnati crushing. If you get him off waivers, you're doing really good. Marvin Jones had a breakout week, and he should be in line for more with the trade of Golden Tate. Sammy Watkins breaking out. Hopefully he can keep it up. I picked him up on a couple teams on waivers when I made my last week's Thursday swap. Watkins is one of the guys that I picked up. And running backs, we got Tarik Cohen had a good week. Todd Gurley is a machine. That guy is unbelievable. Adrian Peterson had a great game. Time to sell high on Adrian Peterson. If you have Adrian Peterson, I would recommend going to get Christian McCaffrey. You might be able to even swap him for David Johnson straight up, or somebody like Tyler Boyd and Peterson for David Johnson, which I might just be trading for a big name here. But I have a feeling that David Johnson should outperform Adrian Peterson the rest of the year. But I'll probably be wrong. Latavius Murray, solid. As long as he's starting, he will be an RB2. And really, you know, I don't know when Dalvin's going to come back. 2 weeks maybe, like after the bye. But who knows how much run he's going to get the rest of the year. I traded for him, recommended everybody trade for him as a playoff, like secret weapon, him and Bell. But who knows? Who knows with these guys? We'll talk about them a little bit later. Kenyon Drake, awesome. Dude is electric. So hopefully you have him. If you do, I wouldn't trade him for peanuts, that's for sure. And you got Aaron Jones, also had a good game. Finally. Let's see what else we got going on here. We got tight ends. And what else? Oh, running backs, Chris Carson. Sorry, I forgot him. Lamar Miller, forgot him. Joe Mixon, forgot him. Forgot a whole bunch of them. They did really well. And the defense, New England's defense, was a rock star. You know, I've always talked about streaming defenses. This is no exception. New England got me like 20 points in a bunch of leagues and really helped me overcome some of these deficits I was supposed to have. You know, I was projected to lose like 4 of these teams and 3 of them by like double-digit points, 20 or more. So the New England defense really helped me. And a lot of these guys putting up points like Lamar Miller and who was the other guy? Kenyon Drake really helped me out. Let's see. The bad, Juju Smith-Schuster, just like 2 catches, terrible. T.Y. Hilton, same. Trey Burton, he is hot or cold. I would still keep him. Might even be a buy-low candidate. Matt Breida was terrible. David Johnson didn't have a bad week, but really when David Johnson is putting up like the same amount of numbers as like a Chris Ivory, you know, like 7 points, 6 points, That's not what you want out of your top 6 pick. Alshon Jeffrey, who is horrible. I still really don't like him, and I expect him to get even less run with Golden Tate. I think Golden Tate should take over that offense because he's way better than what they have. Drew Brees threw for like 120 yards, and Saquon Barkley, 2 weeks in a row, not outstanding. Still had a very good week, better than David Johnson, but he's starting to tail off a little bit. So I'm wondering if the workload's catching up, if it's maybe a good time to sell high on him. Maybe, you know, you trade Barkley. I don't know who you're going to get. You're probably not going to get Melvin Gordon. You know, Melvin Gordon is doing outstanding. So I don't know who you could get for Barkley, but maybe the time to sell high. And the ugly, Martavis Bryant, big fat zero. Dalvin and Fournette punching us right in the face because they have been out all year. Will Fuller, man, what a heartbreaker with that guy. Tore his ACL out for the year. David Njoku at tight end, invisible. Raheem Mostert, super pickup and a super dud. Jimmy Graham is kind of the same way. You'll, you know, have 8 or 10 points or have zero, and he had zero or had very little. Carlos Hyde, not great in his debut. Doug Baldwin has been kind of disappeared all year long. Kenny Galladay, a surprisingly low number of targets and catches. But again, I expect him to be the biggest winner of all from the Golden Tate trade. Jordy Nelson is pretty horrible. You could probably let him go. Ronald Jones a second, same thing. And the Philadelphia running backs. I don't know what is going on over there. Smallwood and Clement are just terrible. I think I think it's Adams, their third guy, might be the best bet going forward. So if you have an extra spot open, you might want to snatch him up. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. And some of these guys you might want to buy high on or sell high on and buy low. Not buy high. That's usually what I do. I buy guys that are high, and then they go right in the tank. But from the trade deadline fallout, you're looking at Courtland Sutton. Should be a big winner. He's already had some pretty decent games. Should continue to perform. Hopefully better than Demaryius was. Kiki Kuti, not as a hot pickup as he was before. He's he's already injured, and we really do expect Demaryius to make an impact. Kenny Galladay, I've been talking for weeks now. Go get him if he's available, and somebody probably has him on their bench. I would flex him easily. He's easily a flex guy now, maybe even a wide receiver too. And what else we got here? Start Golden Tate. If you have Demaryius, start him. Nelson Agholor was the big loser. You know, when you trade for a guy who plays your position, your days are probably numbered. At least your snaps are probably numbered. Defenses you might want to go pick up, just like I did. Carolina, Pittsburgh, Dallas, San Fran, and maybe even the Jets. These guys all have pretty decent matchups. There's not really any game-breaking matchups there, but those are the guys that I'm picking up, especially Carolina and Pittsburgh. And some of these defenses I picked up last week. After Thursday and after the 1 o'clock games, you know, I picked him up. Some pickups. Fitzpatrick, he's going to be starting. He might be worth a shot. Devontae Parker had a nice game. He might be working back into the lineup. Tyrell Williams, been pretty solid all year long, but he's still on the waivers in a lot of leagues. If you're desperate for a tight end, go look at Chris Herndon from the Jets. And I still think Cole Beasley's going to be all right. You know, I know the Dolphins went out and got Amari Cooper. But I don't think that's going to affect Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley goes across the middle. Cooper's more of an outside guy who can't really catch very well. So I don't think Cole Beasley's going to really tail off. I think he might actually do better if there's less attention on him. People are actually double-teaming Cooper or paying Cooper more mind. Some of my thoughts. I've seen the Jaguars defense dropped already in a league of mine. That's just going to continue because people will never learn when you draft a defense in the 6th or 7th round or 5th round even. It just never works out. These defenses, there's just no reason to pick a defense any higher than your last pick or second to last pick, really. Because you can just stream them all year long. That's what I've been doing. It's doing pretty well. I had a bad week where I picked the Jets. I was a bit of a homer in that week. Other than that, I've been doing pretty all right. Make sure, I mentioned it previously, when you have guys on Thursday night playing and they're on your bench, if they do terrible, you can drop them on Friday and pick up somebody else. And realistically, you could use that same roster spot for like 5 guys. Thursday night guy, drop him on Friday, pick up a 1 o'clock guy. 1 o'clock guy sucks, drop him at 4:05 or 4 o'clock when his game ends, pick up a 4:30 guy or 4:25 guy. The late game, the 4 o'clock games end, you pick up a guy playing Sunday night. Sunday night game ends, pick up a guy playing Monday night. I mean, you can do that all weekend with one roster spot and give yourself, you know, 5 chances of hitting a gold mine waiver pickup. you know, it worked well for me with Sammy Watkins. I did the same thing with the Steelers defenses on a few teams last week, because I saw who they're playing this week. That's a good matchup. I don't want to have to go to the waiver wire and battle everybody else in the league, you know, based on waiver order. You know, I'll have to on some of these pickups, but when those teams have bye weeks, like Tyrell Williams, I picked him up on like three teams. Because if I'm missing receivers this week, you know, if I look ahead and I say, you know, I have two receivers out or two receivers and a running back out, Tyrell Williams is sitting there. He's got a bye week last week. Pick him up. I can insert him this week. Because, I mean, really, there's not many guys better on the waiver wire than him. Same with Cole Beasley. Those are guys you could pick up, you know, before their games start, or if they have a bye week, pick them up for the following week. Just plan ahead. So, Thursday night guys on your bench, I had Will Fuller last week starting on one team, and I had him on the bench on another. So, Friday, I dropped Will Fuller. I'm not going to put him in the IR spot. So, I drop Will Fuller, pick up somebody else, probably like Sammy Watkins. Then, when Fournette or Dalvin Cook were ruled out, put them in the IR spot, pick up another guy. If, you know, he does poorly at the 1 o'clock games, you could drop those guys again. Management like this will really help you separate yourself from the guys who are not managing their teams well, especially later in the season like it is now. In the beginning of the year, people are all about it, you know, checking their teams, making trades, being all over the wire. Now, you know, some of these teams are already starting to fade away. If you're 1-7, 2-6 right now, there's a lot of guys who are not changing their roster out. I played against a guy last week who was 4-3, I think, and who left in Allen Robinson. Make sure you're able to switch these guys out. If you have a guy playing at 4 o'clock, all right, plays at 4 o'clock, he's in your flex position. He gets ruled out for whatever reason. You know, maybe you think Dalvin Cook, this is going to be the week for him. You put him in there at 4 o'clock. 3 o'clock comes around, he's ruled out. Uh-oh, now what are you going to do? A lot of these guys in the league won't make that change. They'll think, oh, my, you know, Dalvin's ruled out, great, I get a zero. You can take him out before the 4 o'clock game start and put a guy on your bench in the lineup and switch him out. You know, it's simple as that. Make these little changes. Get your injured players out. Get your injured players or your guys who are ruled out in the IR spot. Open up extra spots for yourself. Make sure that you have every spot full. You know, because even if you pick up a guy, you know, say you got a bunch of guys at 1 o'clock in the bench, and you got a 4 o'clock guy in the flex spot. All the 1 o'clock guys play. You know, their games are finished at four. You got a guy starting at 4:25. All of a sudden, he's ruled out. You know, it's Dalvin Cook. He's ruled out. Oh no, what are you gonna do? Your whole bench is guys who've already played. You drop the bench guy. You pick up a guy off waivers. You pop him into utility, and you're ready to go. It may not be a great pickup. I mean, a lot of these games have already been played, so you can't pick up, you know, obviously games that have been played already. But you find somebody who, you know, a third receiver, a backup running back, you know, LeGarrette Blount, something like that. LeGarrette Blount is a touchdown machine. You know, maybe this is the week that Smallwood breaks out, you pick him up. It's better to get some points than no points. Being able to actively manage your team will help you win. And a lot of these wins come down to 1 point or less. I mean, I've already lost a game this year by 0.04 points. That's ridiculous. And I've won a game by less than a point. Making these changes is incredibly important for your teams to succeed. You have to be able to do that. A lot of these guys aren't going to do it in your league. But you being able to do it, beat players, beat your fellow league mates to the waiver wire. Get these guys who may break out. You know, if Tyrell Williams is playing this weekend at 1 o'clock or whatever on a Sunday, your Thursday night guy is terrible. You know, say you got like Kenny Stills or somebody like, who's that Jets receiver, Quincy Enunwa. They play Thursday night. They're terrible, right? They put up, you know, two catches for 11 yards. You drop them. You pick up Tyrell Williams because you know if Tyrell Williams catches a touchdown, goes for 95 and a touchdown, he's going to be one of the hot pickups. You've already got him. You get him ahead of the rush. You get the guy who could be a potential breakout, and all of a sudden you have a starter and you have some trade capital maybe to move and upgrade. I mean, things like that are what is going to make your team. Not everybody can draft well. Not everybody can make the best pickups, but being able to manage your team, you know, through these times, through the middle of the season, being able to switch guys in and out, take advantage of that IR spot, take advantage of the fact that you can drop guys after they've played if they're on your bench. That's what's going to make league winners and have people playing for money instead of being in sixth or seventh place. You know, if you're in sixth or seventh place with a record one game behind, or if you're tied because to the same record, but you're behind because of points, things like this can really help you out. So, my little rant over. A couple minutes left here. I would still, as far as the injured guys go, Cook and Fournette, I'm still trading for him, but not a lot. I may trade Tarik Cohen for Cook. I don't know if I could trade any more than that. I don't know if I could trade Tyler Boyd for Dalvin Cook. I probably could, because I'm generally not going to start Tyler Boyd unless you drafted poorly. But if you have a running back like Nick Chubb, I don't think I would trade him for Fournette. I don't think I would. And if I have Fournette, depending on where I am in the standings, I may or may not trade for Chubb. If I'm in the top three or four, I'm not going to trade Fournette for anybody like that, because I want Fournette to come back strong and help me in the playoffs. If I'm just outside the playoffs, then we may be talking a deal, because I need somebody to help me out. You know, I need players to play, especially on bye weeks. If you can take advantage of some of these guys who their running backs have been decimated by injury, the guys they have playing this week are already, you know, out, or they don't have anybody good because they're on, you know, they don't have any good, or they have guys on byes. Trade them a decent player like Cohen or Tyler Boyd. Who else is pretty good? That's not great. Crowell, maybe. Crowell and somebody. You know, two starters for Fournette. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. I'm just getting frustrated that they're not healthy. It's really aggravating. Because I made that move a couple weeks ago where I shipped out James Conner, the waiver wire pickup guy of the year, in three leagues for Dalvin. So it's a little bit of an upsetting situation for me. I had Connor on like four or five teams. I traded him on every one of them but one. My B-dubs league, I still have him. So yeah, that wasn't great. You know, if Le'Veon Bell ever reports, Connor will probably share time or go back to the bench. I mean, Le'Veon's going to start if he comes back. But who the hell knows what's going on over there in Pittsburgh? Who knows what's going on with Le'Veon Bell? I've never seen anything like it in my fantasy career. Never seen anything like it where it's the number one player overall, arguably the number one player overall, sits out for the whole year. That doesn't happen. So if you're one of the unfortunates like I was on one league to draft Le'Veon Bell, I mean, there's a good chance you're already out of the running. A lot of these teams that had Bell already fell out of it. You know, they gave up as soon as Bell started holding out and they started losing. If you're able to trade for Bell, again, I wouldn't trade much. Who knows when he's going to come back? If he comes back, you know, in a week or 2 weeks to get his service time, when's he going to start? Week 13? Give you the last 3 or 4 weeks of potential really good running back play? And only a really good team can take advantage of that, because that's playoff time. So if you're sitting up there in the top, you know, the top of your league, and you have somebody like Philip Lindsay on the bench, might not be a bad idea. Trade Philip Lindsay for Le'Veon Bell. Might not be a bad idea. Trade Nick Chubb for Le'Veon Bell. You know, those are solid contributors, solid players that put up good weeks. Now, if Le'Veon's healthy, he'll put up monster numbers more than both of those guys. But if you're at the top of the league and you have Melvin Gordon and Saquon Barkley, you don't really need, you know, Nick Chubb or Philip Lindsay. You picked them up because they were there, but you don't really need them. You might need them for bye weeks, but once those are over, they're just going to chill on your bench. And you're going to have a solid guy sitting on the bench doing nothing. So go ahead. Make this trade and make it happen. And with that, we are out. Email me, avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. Thank you. Good luck in the upcoming week. Average Joe's out.